Ramsey TV.
Any of you folks from the United States, do you remember that Banana Splits group? Do you remember that? My favorite part of that was the Sour Grapes bunch. And these five or six girls came out, and I was a kid, mind you. I was a kid. Yeah, they had these purple outfits, little short skirts and black boots and belts, and I was like, ooh, it's the Sour Grapes bunch. I was just watching that. If anybody wants to know what I'm talking about, and there's a great song that they dance to by Barry White. It's called Doing the Banana Split. I mean, some people think that, it's such a corny cartoon, and it was. It's not a cartoon, it was a real life. Four lunatics dressed in insane suits. But Barry White wrote this great song, Doing the Banana Split. I mean, this song freaking rocks. I'm talking about Barry White, mainstream black artist. Anyway, I'm going to link that. You can watch the Banana Splits, Doing the Banana Split. Wow, yeah, that's still great stuff. Now, I'm going to segue from that to Sulfur and Fire and the Great White Throne. Because the Banana Splits and the Sour Grapes bunch inspired me. And that's honest to God truth. So, a lot of people think that fire, fire refines people in the scriptures, because fire does refine metals. And so people get this idea, and that's all it is, because in no place in scripture does fire refine any human being. Fire destroys human beings. I'm a proponent, of course, of taking scripture literally. And then when you combine fire with sulfur, you get into big trouble, because a lot of people think that sulfur also refines people. And the main reason they think that is because the Greek word behind the word sulfur is theon, T-H-E-I-O-N. And you see the root word in there, which is theos, which is God. So people think that sulfur is God. And so they think that anywhere sulfur is present in the scriptures, it means people are being cleansed, because sulfur is a cleansing agent. Fire is a purifying agent, sulfur a cleansing agent. So, any lucky human being who gets involved with fire and sulfur is going to be purified, going to be made pure. And in this case, I mean, in any case in the scripture, it's not true. And I get aggravated because fire, basically, people put fire and sulfur in the place of God. God is the one who purifies. God is the one who changes people. And you get to the lake of fire and sulfur, which is called for human beings the second death. And again, if you look at all the other places fire and sulfur are used in the scriptures, it's literal. Fire is literal. Sulfur is literal. Anytime human beings are touched by either fire or sulfur, they die. Let me repeat that. Anytime in the scripture human beings are touched by fire or sulfur, they die, unless it's a supernatural preservation such as Shadrach, Meshach, and to bed you go. It was still real fire. It was literal a fire. And the fact that their God, the fact that the Son of God had to supernaturally protect them proves that it was real fire. You don't have to be supernaturally protected from a metaphor. Oh, God, save me from the metaphor. Save me from the metaphoric fire. Okay, here's a metaphoric rope. I'll pull you out of the metaphoric fire. It's ridiculous. I'm going to show you scriptures that use fire and sulfur, and you're going to see this clearly. I don't want to hear any more talk of the purifying of people being purified by sulfur. The reason it's translated theon is because people who worshipped false gods, same word, theon, theos, still gods, they're small g theos, not the theos. The worshippers used sulfur. Sulfur is a common ingredient in what they would call their lustrations. That is, their purifying rituals of the false gods. Sulfur was used. So that's the root word is gods. But people think, they see theos. Yeah, that's the noise they make. Oh, they look at it and they go, oh. And they see, this must be God. So the lake of fire burning with fire and sulfur is not the second death, even though scripture plainly states it to be the second death in Revelation 20:14. They think that people are alive in the lake of fire, being purified and being processed. I've been fighting this for years because I hate it, because it glorifies death. It makes death to be an agent of purification. The second death is a wonderful blessing, but it's not. And so I've talked about this before, but not specifically about sulfur and the fire. So don't get thrown off by theon, the Greek word behind the English word sulfur, because it was used to worship false gods. Let's do what I do. What do? I look at scriptural analogies. First, let's go to Revelation 20, verse 10. Now, there are three supernatural beings in the lake of fire. They alone are tormented there. It could be said that perhaps they are being worked on, processed, purified by the fire and the sulfur. I'm going to admit that because they're said to be there alive. Revelation 20, verse 10. The adversary who is deceiving them was cast into the lake of fire and sulfur. There you go, fire and sulfur, where the wild beasts and where the false prophet are. These are supernatural beings. You might say, well, no, in Revelation, the wild beast is used of the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness. Well, the man of lawlessness is animated by a demonic being. It's the demonic being that animated the wild beast that is in here. The wild beast is put for that supernatural being, which can rightly be called the wild beast, if you ask me. So the wild beast or the false prophet, same thing there, the false prophet, a supernatural demonic being. Why? Because human beings, flesh and blood, cannot be processed or cleansed by fire and sulfur. Fire and sulfur kills flesh and blood. We're not talking about flesh and blood here. We're talking about supernatural beings. And you notice in Revelation 20:10, cast into the lake of fire and sulfur where the wild beasts, where the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night for the eons of the eons, not forever and ever. Are you kidding me? Forever and ever? Give me a break. No. That's what the common English versions state. How can forever and ever be qualified by day and night? Maybe not qualified, but described as being commensurate with day and night. Day and night is a time phrase. Forever and ever, whatever forever and ever means, is a phrase supposedly denoting eternity. The whole thing is fixed when we give a right translation, as is done in the concordant version. Tormented day and night for the eons of the eons. But you notice it's not called the lake, the second death there, is it? Not until verse 14. Let's start with verse 13. The sea gives up the dead in it, and death and the unseen give up the dead in them. And they were condemned, each in accord with their acts. These are the people who were raised from the dead after the 1,000 years has run its course. This is in the interval between the 1,000 years and the new heavens and the new earth, between Aeon 4 and Aeon 5. We have a bunch of people, the small and the great, raised. They're judged according to the book of life. And those whose names were not found in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. There it is. This is the second death, the lake of fire. It's not called the second death until human beings are cast there and human beings are instantly killed by it. If you want to tell me that the fire and sulfur are figurative, and even for the three supernatural beings who are tormented there, the fire and sulfur is literal because they're tormented in it. Apparently, supernatural beings can be tormented. So, okay, I take it back that they're purified. See, it's still not freaking purification or the other thing, cleansing or whatever. It's not. They're tormented. Why do we have to define God's definitions? I almost fell into the trap there myself, saying just minutes ago, well, the beast adversary and the false prophet, they can be refined and cleansed and purified in sulfur and fire. Why am I saying that? Because the text tells us exactly what's happening to them. They're tormented in the sulfur and the fire. It's not purifying them. Maybe the torment will result in them having new thoughts, new ideas, new emotions, new feelings, new revelations. Ow, this sulfur hurts. I just had a new thought. Oh, this fire's processing me terribly. Ooh, I just got a brilliant idea. Maybe God is God. Like the Nebuchadnezzar experience. He was tormented by dew out in the grass. Nebuchadnezzar was. He was tormented by his fingernails and toenails, which grew like eagle's talons. He was tormented by, you know, bad breath, body odor, whatever the guy had to put up with. So this is the supernatural being version of eagle's talons and bad breath, and that is fire and sulfur. But for human beings, they die. They die. Don't be telling me that they're being purified in there. So let's look at places in Scripture where fire and sulfur are used. Let me, if you will, go to Luke 17:29. Here is Luke 17:29. I love this verse. Speaking of Lot, let's go to verse 28. Likewise, according as it occurred in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. Yet on the day in which Lot came out from Sodom, fire and sulfur. Here we go. The same elements that are in the lake of fire. Fire and sulfur rains from heaven and purifies every single person in Sodom and Gomorrah. The fire and the sulfur cleanses, scours to a shiny sheen, the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah. No, it's not what the passage says. It says fire and sulfur rains from heaven and destroys them all. In accord with these, will it be on the day in which the Son of Man is unveiled? The day in which the Son of Man is unveiled. That makes me want to turn to the book of Revelation. I can't help it. I'm turning to the book of Revelation. I'm going to chapter 9. Verse 17, I can't help it. So shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Revelation 9 and verse 17 and 18. And thus I perceived the horses in the vision, and those sitting on them having cuirasses, fiery, and amestatine, and sulphurous. And the heads of the horses are as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths is issuing fire and fumes and sulphur. We got a third element added here, fumes. The fumes are from the sulfur. Sulfur emits a terrible fume. It's noxious. Not only that, it's poisonous. Out of their mouths is issuing fire and fumes and sulfur. By these three calamities were purified a third of mankind. By these three calamities were cleansed a third of mankind. No, it's not what it says. By these three calamities were killed a third of mankind by the fire and fumes and the sulfur which is issuing out of their mouths. A third of mankind killed by the fire and the fumes and the sulfur which is issuing out of the mouths of the horsemen. So there is another witness that fire and fumes kill human beings. Sodom and Gomorrah, boom, fire, sulfur, you're dead. Revelation 9, 17, 18, fire, sulfur, you're dead. Let's go to Revelation 21, 8. He who is conquering shall be enjoying the allotment, and I shall be a God to him, and he shall be a son to me. That was verse 7, verse 8. Yet the timid and unbelievers, don't be timid, and the abominable and murderers and paramours and enchanters and idolaters and all the false, their part is in the lake burning with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. There we go. Fire and sulfur. All through Scripture kills human beings. Kills human beings. I gave you the evidence. If you're going to try to say that the fire and sulfur of Revelation 20:14, the lake of fire and sulfur, if you're going to tell me that the people cast into the lake of fire are purified and cleansed by the sulfur and processed and wonderfied by the fire, you have the burden of proof on you. It's all on you. Do you feel the weight of it? Ooh, because every single place, especially in the book of Revelation itself, in the same book where you're trying to tell me that people are being purified and cleansed. No, in the same book, the fire and sulfur, same word, sulfur, theon, kills people. Never does it do anything else.